Blog Talk Radio.
Women have heard of jalopies, you've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along. Smart and designed, black convertible top, and the gals don't mind. Going with me, riding all around town for joy. Blow your horn, Raymond, blow! In my rocket and don't be late, baby, we're pulling out about half past eight. Going round the corner and get a feel, everybody in my car's gonna take a little dip. Move on out, oozing and cruising along.
America is a land of heroes, a place where greatness is born, where destinies are forged, and where legends come to life. This is the home of Thomas Edison and Teddy Roosevelt, of many great generals, including Washington, Pershing, Patton, and MacArthur. This is the home of Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, Amelia Earhart, Harriet Tubman, the Wright brothers, Neil Armstrong, and so many more. This is the country where children learn names like Wyatt Earp, Davy Crockett, and Annie Oakley. This is the place where the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth and where Texas Patriots made their last stand at the Alamo. The American nation was carved out of the vast frontier by the toughest, strongest, fiercest, and most determined men and women ever to walk on the face of the earth. Our ancestors braved the unknown, tamed the wilderness, settled the Wild West, lifted millions from poverty, disease, and hunger, vanquished tyranny and fascism, ushered the world to new heights of science and medicine, laid down the railroads, dug out the canals, raised up the skyscrapers. Our ancestors built the most exceptional republic ever to exist in all of human history, and we are making it greater than ever before. This is our glorious and magnificent inheritance. We are Americans, we are pioneers, we are the pathfinders. We settled the new world. We built the modern world, and we change history forever by embracing the eternal truth that everyone is made equal by the hand of Almighty God. America is the place where anything can happen. America is the place where anyone can rise. And here, on this land, on this soil, on this continent, the most incredible dreams come true. This nation is our canvas, and this country is our masterpiece. We look at tomorrow and see unlimited frontiers just waiting to be explored. Our brightest discoveries are not yet known. Our most thrilling stories are not yet told. Our grandest journeys are not yet made. The American age, the American epic, the American adventure has only just begun. Our spirit is still young. The sun is still rising. God's grace is still shining. And my fellow Americans, the best is yet to come.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. James Bostic, A Conservative's Perspective, once again asking the question that this old man has asked for a while now, and I'm going to keep on asking it. Where are the Democrats who speak about this nation the way the president speaks about this nation? Where are the Democrats who believe in this country and its citizenry and their potential and their abilities the way the president does? Help an old man out. Somebody tell me where they're at. Honestly. Good to be here with you. We're in like our second full week of quasi quarantine here in the Mountain State. I've said this many times. I know I'm going to be taken to task for it again, but when it comes to this, and it's just like I said in the teaser, you know, Corona, it never ends. We're going to talk about it a little bit, but then we're going to move on to some stuff. I just, it's wearing me out, to be honest with you. And again, just to keep you up to date, worldwide, and this is updated less than 20 minutes ago, worldwide, there are 1,007,977 cases of confirmed cases of coronavirus. Of that 1,007,997, 210,055 have recovered. 52,000 have lost their lives worldwide. 52,000 people from coronavirus, the same coronavirus that has brought the United States to an economic standstill, and every single day we remain in this position does us immeasurable harm. For the United States, as of 20 minutes ago, we have confirmed in America 240,120 cases, less than 250,000 cases. The 2018-2019 flu virus season, 16 million people were infected. Of that 16 million, about half were sick to the point where they had to seek medical treatment. Of those, right around 250,000 went to the hospital. They were so sick that they had to go to the hospital because of the flu. And from there, we see 34,200 people last year lost their life in the flu season. Wasn't even an epidemic, folks. Just a regular garden variety flu season. Right here in the United States, last year alone, just from the plain old walking around, touch a doorknob, scratch your nose flu, 34,200 people died. That's almost 75% of the deaths worldwide from corona right now. It in the United States, you know, they break it down state by state. And as less than 30 minutes ago, here in West Virginia, 191 confirmed cases, two deaths. They don't have any word on those that recovered. As far as our neighbors go, Kentucky, 770 confirmed cases, 31 deaths. Virginia, 1,484 cases, 34 deaths. North Carolina, 1,584 cases, 10 deaths. Ohio, 2,547 confirmed cases, 65 deaths. Tennessee, 2,683. Recovered, 137. That's promising, 24 deaths. Less than 6,000 deaths in the United States. This is in total. This is from the time that these people started pushing. And again, I'm sorry. I know people aren't going to like this. But we touched on this a lot on Tuesday nights. The arithmetic does not justify the restrictions. That's all there is to it. Well, what about the elderly? Well, we got to protect them from this. Well, what about the immunosuppressed? Well, we got to protect them from this. What about the unlucky? Well, we'll do what we can. But folks, the elderly, the immunosuppressed, and the unlucky are always the ones that we have to protect in any when any virus is on the loose. Last year, 2018, 2019, 34,000 people died from the flu. 34,000 people died from the flu. Not a barbershop closed. Not a beauty shop shut their doors. No restaurant took in, you know, no restaurant turned away in-house diners. Schools were open every damn day. And as far as these deaths go, you know, if they test positive for the coronavirus antibody, they're calling it a coronavirus death. They might have died from a heart attack. I know you shake your head. They wouldn't do that. Well, yeah, they might. Why wouldn't they do that? Isn't this the narrative that they want to advance, that this thing is the existential threat to the world? I mean, it's killed 52,000 people in a world of gazillions. 272 million people right here in the United States. It's killed 5,000. I'm not minimizing it. I'm not marginalizing it. Every single one is a tragedy. Just like those 34,200 people that died last year and the thousands that died before them and the thousands that died in H1N1, in SARS, the swine flu. We didn't come to a screeching halt. We didn't run around like our hair was on fire and our asses were catching. I said we weren't going to get on this too much, didn't I? I did. I remember saying that. And again, if you look at the numbers, the arithmetic does not justify the restrictions. And I would like to point out that civil liberties and the rights granted to us in the Constitution aren't good just as long as nobody gets sick. They're not upheld. They're not to be. Okay? They're really important when times are bad. Okay, that's when civil rights are important, when times are bad. That's when our constitutional liberties are important, and that's when we have to call the government on them, is when times are bad, not when times are good. You've heard it said here many times, Washington told us that the Constitution was that place to which the wise and the honest can repair. And they will, and they do. And the people that make noise about the Constitution and its observance or adherence to it are pretty important people. But the others are not the wise and the honest, which will repair to the Constitution. They seek to place the Constitution into disrepair. They wish to dismantle it. They wish to unravel it. They wish to shred it. It is the only thing that is between them and us. The Constitution is the firewall that protects us from those in government who are corrupt. And are not wise or honest. The cunning, the calculating, they are corrupt. This country is shut down. Over roughly a little bit more, or a little bit less, I guess, a little bit less than a quarter of last year's death toll from the flu. This country is shut down. People are told they can't go to church. People are told, and this is what I don't get, people are told if they've, in some communities, people are being told that if they violate curfew or they violate these shelter-in-place orders, they can be arrested. Well, hell, they're letting all the people out of jails for corona. So what exactly is going on here? Take it seriously, my ass. This is ridiculous. I'm taking very seriously the threat to, I see, to our liberties. To the, I'm in a Dollar General store the other day. And I'm looking on the floor because I'm just walking around. And there are these little X's taped in blue masking tape on the floor. And as I see, they're in 6 foot intervals. That's ridiculous. As Dr. Evil would say, and I really want to say it the way he says it, but I'm not gonna. That's ridiculous. Well, why are we having to stand on the, well, you got to have a 6 foot interval there. Yeah, they say, as they all touch the same products throughout the store, but since we got that 6 foot interval, we're good to go. Jesus wept. It is in times such as these when there has to be some kind of a metric. There has to be some kind of a stopgap at some point, some pop-off valve where we say, okay, we're going to bring down the most prosperous economy that this country has seen in its history over this. That's what we're going to do. That's what you're saying we need to do. Really. Middle class America is being decimated right now. It is being bled white, especially on its lower ends in the service personnel, in that industry. Beauticians, barbers, waiters, bartenders, groomers, dog groomers. I mean, this is, these people are hurt. These people are hurting bad. And Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats dithered while these people hurt. And now they're going to start an... Oh, God. Okay. All right, we got it. I'm going to... Okay, here's what we're going to do. I got to... The old man's getting his blood pressure up. I got to go find my medicine. In the meantime, you cats listen to this. We will be back with more of a conservative's perspective right here.
Oh, oh, oh no! Oh, oh, oh no!
It comes from China.
Oh, oh, oh no! Oh, oh no! Everybody was kung fu fighting. That's fast lightning.
Say the term again. Kung Fu. It comes from China.
Well, I'm still jacked up, man. I thought that was going to help me out a little bit, but it didn't. I'm still pissed. Homage to the very first Kung Fu disco hero of all time. I'm talking about Carl Douglas. That was that was Michael Crowder. He's great, and that was terrific. I saw that today, and I said, oh, man. And the video is really good. You can check him out. Louder was Crowder on YouTube. well, and here's the thing again that I was going to talk to you about, and this is, excuse me. No, it's not the coronavirus. Knock it off. One in five Americans have been ordered to stay home. Now again, let's talk. Let's keep these stats in mind. In the United States, as it is now, 240,120 confirmed cases, 10,365 confirmed recoveries, 5,794 deaths. Because of these numbers, one in five Americans have been ordered to stay home. Major states and cities have been shut down. Our response to the coronavirus represents the biggest challenge to the relationship between individuals and government in this country since the Civil War, since World War I, since World War II. These decisions undoubtedly, you know, we're living in the bubble of the history and the immediacy of it. We won't be able to make any real sound judgments on it. They'll be debated by scholars in the future, and they're going to look at this stuff the same way they looked at when Abraham Lincoln suspended the writ of habeas corpus. In other words, you didn't have to have any evidence to put anybody in jail. And he used it. Or the Espionage Act, the Japanese internment camps of the Second World War, or any other emergency decisions, you know, they'll always be litigated. They'll always be kicked around. Now, a generation ago, groups like the ACLU might have had something to say about the civil liberties implications of these shelter-in-place orders. But that was a different ACLU that at least pretended to care about civil liberties as an objective value, defending the rights of people that it disagreed with. The new ACLU doesn't do that. It's an identity politics zombie, fundamentally, that's only concerned with civil liberties in terms of the fact that illegal aliens won't be able to enter the country, and that we need to get prison inmates released as quickly as possible. Why the hell are we releasing prison inmates over coronavirus? No, I don't know either. So nowadays, the ACLU's position on the coronavirus is that individual rights must sometimes give way to the greater good. After all, when it comes to disease, we're not just individuals, but also one big biomass. And diseases care little for our notions of individualism, the former civil liberties organization would tell you. And there's no doubt true. But the thing is, we do not run our society, and people need to pay close attention to this particular point. We do not run our society from the perspective of a disease. We don't ask civil libertarians to mind meld with these viruses to tell us what they think. Once upon a time, the ACLU might have asked what the Constitution thought of a policy. Now it asks what a disease thinks of the United States of America. And to the disease, the ACLU, the left, we're just one big biomass collective with no room for individualism. Meanwhile, the ACLU has missed the civil liberties debate over what an essential establishment is. Shelter in place, another variance of the same term, lists the local definition of what is considered essential or non-essential, and there is, as of yet, no formal federal definition. Not dead air, just taking a little drink. Are liquor stores essential? Well, apparently they are in New York and New Jersey and St. Louis and Michigan. But they're not essential in Pennsylvania. Pot stores essential in California, Jersey, Massachusetts, and in Pennsylvania. Well, since you can't get any bourbon. But the essential debate is really blowing up when it comes to guns. Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva cut loose, opened his jails, and let 1,700 criminals out of the county jails, and then launched an aggressive force to push gun stores to shut down as non-essential. No, I'm not making this crap up. I'm not that imaginative. We will be closing them. They are not an essential function, Villanueva insisted. You have the mixture of people that are not formerly gun owners, and you have a lot of people at home, and anytime you introduce a firearm into a home, it increases fourfold the chance that someone is going to get shot. Yeah, especially if it's a freaking home invader who needs to be shot two or three times. Sheriff Villanueva has been removed from the Los Angeles County Task Force, which, yeah, okay. But, you know, Pennsylvania is the same way. Illinois said it was okay for gun stores to be open. Pennsylvania said no. And, you know, so what it is there are all these places. All right, I guarantee you, if they're trying to curtail the sale of firearms at the same time they are freeing criminals from jails, you are not in a conservative enclave. What about abortion clinics? Would they be deemed essential? Well, you better bet you're behind. Democrats see them as essential. So gun stores essential? Abortion clinics essential? Well, the people on one side, one of them is the footprint of a murderous industry that shouldn't even exist. And on the other side is a constitutionally protected right. Litigation over both sides and both industries fought endlessly, and now it seems to be being settled by fiat under the guise of emergency measures. See, that's the civil liberties problem when you give government unlimited emergency powers to shut down everything it wants to with very little scrutiny and no meaningful appeal against its decisions. Yes, is it an emergency? There are those who believe it to be. Okay. Civil rights don't disappear in emergencies. They matter more than they ever do. The use of emergency powers allow governments to strip away individual rights with very little oversight. And it's inevitable, just like with the idiot in Los Angeles County, that those powers will be used for self-serving reasons. In an emergency, in times like this, it is vital that we keep the government honest by questioning how it uses its powers. We examine its motives for using those powers, and we make sure to push to set limits on those emergency powers. The tension between emergency powers, I'm using my air fingers quotes, and civil liberties is the cauldron out of which freedom is constantly reborn. Because when the government is given the power to shut down anything it wants to in an emergency, those officials are going to make those decisions along the lines of their preconceived cultural, moral, and listen closely, political views. Even when the effect is to override the existing civil liberties. Now, no society is free all the time. But the difference between a free and unfree society is that a free society keeps asking challenging questions, even during periods when civil liberties have been suspended. It's by asking those questions, the citizenry work to keep this state of affairs an aberration, a temporary thing, a hiccup, not the new normal. And there are people in power that are looking to see these restrictions as the new normal, to be enforced as the new normal. By God, I'm not going to sit still for it. We can't. We just can't. And I think that's a pretty good place to stop with it right now. We will be back with more of a conservative's perspective here in just a little bit. We've got one thing, you know, I guess to accentuate the positive here. Then you guys know how I am about that. The coronavirus is bad. It is, and we're not going to take anything away from its badness or its evility, but I promise you this. The coronavirus is nothing. Nothing at all compared to the colonavirus. I picked up a dose of that once about 5 years ago. It was terrible. Coronavirus, you ask? Well, that's what happens when you listen to too much Bob Hope on old-time radio. You become exposed to Jerry Colonna, and it goes like this.
And now by request, Professor Jerry Colonna singing Conchita. She was a handsome young Irish lad, and she was a Mexican beauty. It was fiesta, and I might add, romantically he was on a duty. A boy and a girl, and neither the has a car as a home. I can't tell it in the thick of the tea for a bar. His Irish heart went bingo when he saw the Rose of Juarez.
Oh.
Conchita, Marquita, Nalita, Pepita, Rosita, Juanita, Lopez. Oh, you're a lovely thing, oh. For me, there's but one girl, he says.
Oh.
Conchita, Marquita, Nalita, Pepita, Rosita, Juanita, Lopez. Yes, she won her heart one night with a serenade beneath the moonlight. It's cool, it's like a super, it's like a mess, it's a quarter, it's a five. My senorita, will you marry a man? Jersey was never like this.
No.
The bells began to ring off, and they rode away on a mule. To prove I'm not joking, if you're in Hoboken, drop in for a minute and you'll meet Conchita, Marquita, Dalita, Hip Hip, Tibibita, Rita, Juanita.
Ain't got a dime to my name, what a terrible shame. Ho hum, ho ho hum. Just found a hole in my shoe when my stocking shows through. Ho hum, ho ho hum. I know that when you're as free as a bird in a tree, life is a wonderful whim. Look at the crank with his dough in the bank. Don't you feel sorry for him? Rolling along at a loss, never gathering moss. Ho, 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 ho. Terrific success, I ought to worry, I guess. Ho, 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 ho. I like a shady old tree. What's the matter with me? Ho, 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 ho. There's nothing quite as grotesque as a man at a desk looking outside at the sun. Shirts made of silk and a diet of milk. Maybe he thinks he has fun. I've got the vagabond itch. I guess I'll never get rich. Ho, ho. Ho, 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 ho. Ho, 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 ho.
You must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a wonderful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove the little boys wild. And when it came to winning blue ribbons, you must have shown the other kids how. I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you made the cutest bow. Oh, you must have been a beautiful baby, 'cause baby, look at you now. Does your mother realize the stork delivered quite a prize the day he left you on the family tree? Does your dad appreciate that you're merely super great, the miracle of any century? If they don't, just send them both to me. You must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a wonderful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove the little boys wild. And when it came to winning blue ribbons, you must have shown the other kids how.
I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you made the cutest bow. Oh, you must have been a beautiful baby, 'cause baby, look at you now.
Oh. Well, we're back. Conservative's perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio. Contrary to popular belief, it is not the Otriot Nation Radio. I made a boo-boo, okay? Anyway, Patriot Nation Radio, we do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Yeah, you know what? I know the songs are square. I know they're hokey. So what? They're from a time when this nation was great. They're from a time when this nation recognized true hardship and went through it together, not divisively. You turn on the news, you see guys like Don Lemon saying that minorities and women are the people that are suffering most from coronavirus. Oh, Jesus wept. It was a time of American optimism. Even though the dark clouds of war had clouded the planet, and America was dealing with a devastating blow at Pearl Harbor that brought us into the Second World War, bloodied but unbowed. And America went to work with a will, man. Okay. That was the time of John Bazelon, of Steve Rogers, of Chuck Yeager, Bud Anderson, Gabby Gabreski. Any number of nameless, faceless guys. My uncle James H. Miller spent 28 days in the Solomon Islands in the same uniform. Same socks, same shoes. No change of drawers, no nothing. You might have rinsed off maybe when they came to a creek or a stream that didn't have crocodiles hanging around in it. Or maybe you stood out there and rinsed them off during a rainstorm or something, but no bath, no nothing. You want to talk about hardship? Those guys fought with malaria. They went about their day-to-day routines with malaria. They were taking this stuff called Adabrin. It was an experimental therapy. It was an experimental drug for malaria. But back then, Democrats weren't calling for it to be, you know, weren't banning the use of it. Malaria was killing our guys. We needed to do something to stop it. Different time, different generation, different people. There's so many candy asses out there today. And it just disturbs me. And these people, you know, believe you me, I'm taking it seriously, okay? I'm wiping down carts like that matters. Okay, I've got my hands on a sterilized card handle, but then I'm going to reach up and I'm going to pick up a can of beans that was handled by somebody who's infected with coronavirus or God, who knows what. So I go home and I wash my hands. I got soap and water. So we wash. We stay clean. The precautions they're having us do aren't any different than the precautions they would have us do during any other flu season. Take care of the elderly. Take care of those folks that have a weak constitution and are prone to this sort of thing. Make sure that they're protected, which is what we do every flu season. But we don't shut down schools. We don't shut down barbershops. We don't shut down restaurants. We don't keep people from buying guns. We don't enforce curfews and tell people they're going to be arrested if they stick their head out of their yard. We've come to a point now where once again they've decided they're going to create a select committee. Nancy Pelosi on today announced a new select House committee to review the Trump administration's response to the Chinese coronavirus pandemic. They're going to investigate Donald Trump again over his handling of the coronavirus. No, I'm not making it up. You wonder why people don't take his crap seriously? This is a political illness. The pathogens here are no greater a threat than the flu season was last year. In addition to looking into the Trump administration's response efforts, the panel is going to review the management of the $2 trillion economic relief package, which is aimed at easing the financial strain caused by the Democrats pushing the panic button and insisting that the economy shut down. Part of the package, the government has set up a $500 billion corporate liquidity fund, and will provide $377 billion in small business aid. This committee, this committee will examine all aspects of the federal response to the coronavirus and ensure the taxpayers' dollars are being wisely and efficient. Nancy Pelosi is putting together a committee that's going to make sure. Oh, God. Dixie, sweetheart, look at me and see if there's blood coming out of my ears. Am I okay? It's my dog, Australian Shepherd. She has been deliriously happy over this quasi-quarantine because we have been tight for the last week and a half. But anyway, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are going to make sure that these people are spending money the right way. This panel, Nancy Pelosi, okay, this means Nancy Pelosi, this means Adam Schiff, this means Jerry the Jowl Nadler, this means the regular usual suspects of boobs, charlatans, ne'er-do-wells, and hucksters are going to be on this panel to root out waste, fraud, and abuse. It's going to protect us against price gouging, profiteering, and political fair. Nancy Pelosi, I know. I just can't. Where there's money, there's frequently also mischief, she added. James Clyburn's going to chair it. This development comes up after House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff announced that he will introduce legislation to create a nonpartisan commission to examine the government's response. When they say government, they mean the president, okay? I'm talking about the president. Over the weekend, of course, you know, Nancy Pelosi accused President Trump of fiddling while people died of coronavirus and hinted that she would launch an investigation into his actions. President Trump responded in typical Trump fashion. She's a sick puppy, in my opinion. She really is. She's got a lot of problems, and that's a horrible thing to say. Don't forget, she was playing the impeachment, you know, her game where she ended up looking like a fool. And while the president was acting on coronavirus, Nancy Pelosi and these Democrat Percy Pecksniffs were passing out impeachment pens where they had signed the articles of impeachment. That's what they were focused on. The president's initiating travel bans against China, trying to keep these people out of the country. They're calling him a racist and working on impeachment. Nancy Pelosi, yeah. Adam Schiff for brains. Adam Schiffhead. Adam Bullshit. Jerry the Jowl Nadler. Fat, useless, hot dog eating Jerry the Jowl Nadler. (sighs) there's been a change too. The club, the DNC, has decided to postpone the party's convention until August 17th. It was originally scheduled for June in Milwaukee, but now they've changed that. And it's not going to happen. Two things are very clear, according to our pal Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse. The club, and meaning the Democrat National Committee, the money wing, was never dependent on using Joe Biden as the Democrat presidential nominee. And number two, the club knew something would happen this spring to erase the political norms. Just like it took a few months to see the full picture around how the Democrats assembled the Ukraine impeachment hoax. Through Mary McCord and Michael Atkinson and Alexander Vindman and Eric Charmella. Oh, that's the name we're not supposed to say. Eric Charmella. I'm saying it. China virus and Eric Charmella. And then ultimately Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff. They came up with this whole thing. So what they're going to do is they're postponing it. Oh, from July. I'm sorry. They were in July, not June. The Democrat National Committee postponing the presidential convention in Milwaukee to August 17th, the week before the Republican Party's convention. It came after likely nominee Joe Biden publicly called for the convention to be rescheduled in response to the coronavirus pandemic. And it followed weeks behind the scenes discussions with the DNC and certain party leaders, and of course, Biden and Bernie Sanders. Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg. Actually asked Biden. He was on The View yesterday, or maybe today. Why are you still here? What are you still doing in the race? So this new date, August 17th, we'll put the DNC convention back-to-back with the Republican convention, which is August 24th in Charlotte, North Carolina. The proximity of these two events presents some messaging challenges for both sides. Biden's not going to have as much time to enjoy a potential polling bounce before the DNC starts dominating coverage. And the Republicans, by the same token, won't have as much time to plan out responses to speeches and events in Milwaukee, because they're just going to be they're 1 week in from the next. So there's going to be a scramble. They're still saying that Joe is a presumptive nominee, and I suppose he will be. It's not going to be Mary Cuomo. He didn't file any papers, doesn't have any money. They can't write him in. They're going to draw him up. But then again, the Democrats are pretty sketchy, and they will bend the rules whatever way they think they need to. As we saw in 2016, as we saw with Mike Bloomberg, as we saw every damn time they turned around, they were changing the rules in the debate to get somebody in or squeeze somebody out. So, yeah, they could get a little squirrely on it. That's true. Excuse me. But what this means for Joe Biden is another month where he can – they're going to have to keep him under wraps, which is what they're doing now. They took him off. And now here's what's happened. It's been a slow progression. But when it got to the peak point with his Fruit Loopery, they cut down his speeches. 15 minutes. And then 7 minutes. And then he's going out and he's pressing the flesh. He's going to these things, but he's not speaking a whole lot, and they're not covering it a lot. And then, we had that guy from Flint, Michigan that was on the show a couple of weeks ago. Joe Biden said was full of it when they were talking about the Second Amendment. And then he starts doing podcasts. But he can't do the podcasts because he's a doddering old fool and out to lunch. And so he can't do them live, so they edit them, and he comes off sounding like a septuagenarian Max Headroom, and so they're going to have to do this for another month, and they'll send him out on some of the talk shows, and he'll get some softballs tossed to him here and there. Chuck Todd tried, but poor old Joe, excuse me, just a moment. No, it's not Corona. Jeez. So, you know, this whole thing to me really is frustrating. And so they got to keep Joe. And I just don't, I just. Again, we talk about this like it's a horse race in the Democrat campaign. And I make the same mistake as a lot of people, and I get caught up in it. But I'm really compartmentalizing. It's not going to matter whether it's Joe Biden, whether it's Bernie Sanders, whether it's Governor Nipples. Have you seen that? Have you seen this? I've got a page, Talk America, West Virginia, and it's also an outlet for Mojo 5-0 stuff. Somebody took pictures of Governor Cuomo over the weekend at a presser. He's doing something, and he's wearing a polo shirt, and it appears that old boy has his nips pierced. I've got to close. Cuomo nipples. You could probably just go with that and you know, be your own judge. I don't know, but oh, I don't know. Maybe we are living in the damn end times. But Biden's not going to go quietly, and it's probably going to take a lot of cash to buy him off. And if they do buy him off, it's going to be obvious that they bought him off. Because he, you know, he wants this just as bad as they keep telling Joe that he wants it. Because he forgets every now and then. Have I shared with you guys? I mean, yeah, let's go back. So now this thing's going to be drawn out another month. This race to the glue factory with these two knock-kneed sway-back nags. That people are saying, you know, they're acting like it's Seabiscuit and Man of War. No, it's Francis the Talking Mule and Mr. Ed. It's not. And no offense to Ed or Francis, because I had a Mr. Ed puppet when I was getting one of those where you pull the string. Yeah, it was like vinyl and a little bit of, and you pull Wilbur, come here. Anyway, so. They're going to go in August, and it's going to be a hate fest. The Bernie people, we've heard what the Bernie people have said, and they're being kind of quiescent right now. We're not hearing a lot from them, and it could be that, you know, they're having time to think things over, or it could be that they're putting stuff in place, and this gives them an extra month. Because the Bernie people say that if he doesn't get the nomination, Milwaukee's going to burn. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. But Bernie's not going to leave. And right now, I don't know what else they can do. Everybody talks Hillary. Everybody talks Michelle. Well, those nags didn't file any papers either. But again, Democrats, you know, they're not much when it comes to rules and their side. So who knows? But they're going to come out. It's going to be a hate fest, no matter what happens. And then when they give Joe Biden the nominee or whatever happens here, and Bernie Sanders doesn't get it, it could be that there are going to be problems within the Democrat Party. And there's already been a lot of signs that they're disintegrating. They've basically wrapped up. In terms of this primary, they've they've pretty much wrapped it up between the two big contenders. All right, and that's socialism, communism, flaming hot socialism, communism, Bernie Sanders. And Joe Biden. I mean, he doesn't really stand for anything one way or another, but I would imagine that he's got the old Obama, maybe not Obama himself, but he has the old Obama establishment backing him up. And for a lot of Democrats, that's not going to pull it off. Because again, now he's got another month to show himself to be fundamentally a man beneath the office that he seeks. Stumbling, gapping, distracted, frustrated, drifting off, sounding for all the world like an addled old man that probably needs to be hanging around the dog tracks a little bit more than he does. Now, when you add to that Joe Biden's mile-high political baggage, which includes everything from sexual harassment to creepiness with kids to straight-up bona fide corruption, he's gotten really rich. And his family has gotten really rich while he's been in public office. Nobody's talking about that. But we will when the time comes. I've got all we need to bring that stuff right back up. So it's no surprise amongst Democrats because he's a weak, doddering old fool. That's all there is to it. They want to talk about getting somebody else, someone that the Democrats, even though they may not, no matter who it is, may not stand a chance against Donald Trump, it's at least somebody they can get excited about. And with the coronavirus and the pseudo crisis that's involved with it, we're seeing the governors, Democratic governors anyway, and not just the garden variety politicians. And we've gotten a lot of presidential timber from our gubernatorial forest. And because the coronavirus has enabled these guys to move front and center, the calls for bringing one of them, Governor Nipples, to the top of the Oh, God, when they say what a boob, they're not kidding. They're really... And this is a little bit different in kind rather than in degree from what the Democrats have offered their voters over the last couple elections. A couple things that stand out. Number one, that they're governors. They're not senators. They're not talking head politicians whose main qualification is their speeches. And there's only experience, of course, a lot of talk, a lot of left-wing extremism that's bereft of any real-world experience and probably a low achievement record in the Senate. Governors are chief executives, good, bad, or indifferent. They have to make things happen. They got a state to run, and they got to get it done. And some of them do well, some of them don't. But I would imagine they probably have a little more can-do experience than somebody that's been in Congress or the Senate for 30 years, just hanging out. Look at how many senators that they fielded since the time of Barack Obama, when he changed that political model and they moved away from the Bill Clinton styles and the governors into congressmen, senators. So you've got these factions as it breaks down in the Democrat Party. You got the Bernie people who can't win, but they're not going to go away. The Obamaites of Bidendom. And now you've got these Democrat governors who aren't screaming bloody murder about Trump. Have you heard what Gavin Newsom said? He said, I'd be lying to you to say that he hasn't been responsive to our needs. He has. And so as a question, as sort of an offer of objectivity, I have to acknowledge that publicly. The fact is, every time I've called the president, he's quickly gotten on the line. Well, that's not exactly what Nipples said. Nipples was screaming about ventilators that he knew he had, but swore he didn't. Now, that kind of talk, and that was Gavin Newsom from Freakazoid, California. That kind of talk isn't going to work in conjunction with their presumptive nominee, and that's Joe Biden, and he's supposed to be a socialist like Bernie, but at the same time, he's also supposed to be able to whip up hate against Donald Trump to rouse the voter base. And if his potential rivals in the wings are governors, Democrats, that are governors praising Trump, and Democrats are responding well to that, that's going to be a problem. Bernie's staying on in the hopes that Biden's just going to straight up flame out or die in his sleep or be hauled off by white coats or something, leaving himself with the second biggest delegate tally. And that undercuts Joe Biden just as much as the blue state governors who are praising Donald Trump does. And there's a fourth factor too. And that's, and I don't know if it's really happening. It may be, because there's nothing going on. There's just like this point of inertia in the campaigns. This coronavirus thing has taken the wind out of what we've seen from Biden and Sanders both. But they say there's this disintegration of the campaign going on. This probably is. And it's going to happen sooner or later, given that no matter what he anticipates or what he tries, in all likelihood, Bernie Sanders is not going to make it. He's just not. They're going to go with Joe. So one part of the base, the Sanders group, is returning to its thug roots, but they're better organized now. And they're not hazing Trump supporters, they're hazing their fellow leftists like Alyssa Milano, who is pro-Biden, and they're moving into, you know, so they're devouring each other. But another part of the Bernie camp is doing something even crazier, okay? As the reality has set in, he's not going to be the nominee. And they know why Bernie isn't going to be the nominee. Bernie isn't going to be the nominee because the Democrat National Committee does not want him to be the nominee. They can't give the nomination to Bernie. They can't, no matter what. Yeah. So those people, those Bernie supporters, and they know this. They've probably known it all along. They probably just simply hoped that there would be enough momentum this time, that they would have a better organization and have a better ground game in the various different states. And they did well, you know, they did well before everybody started freaking out over the flu, this coronavirus. He'd won Nevada, he'd won a couple New England states. And then, of course, everything changed when he got down to South Carolina and Joe pulled up. And then, boom, oh, well, we can't pay any attention to this anymore. All you people go home and stay home. Don't let me see you looking out your window. You better draw those damn curtains. So with that, there's going to be at least, they project, 12, 15, 17% of the Bernie supporters who are going to go immediately and grudge vote for Donald J. Trump. That's a problem. That's a problem. Given that they're running old Joe, true or not, as a centrist, because he's not. So they're all over the map. They've got all these different places. Everybody's taking stands at one extreme. And all we see happen as soon as they do, these other factions pop up. But is it enough? I mean, there's still inertia. There's still momentum in this corrupt, in this corrupt, progressive, Marxist leviathan that's just rolling along, kind of like the Hillary Clinton campaign did, scandal after scandal, gaffe after gaffe, pieces falling off of it. They're going to drag it all the way to the finish line. Because they think that's all they got to do if they finish. If they just get across that line, they'll be able to do everything they've wanted to do. I really never had any idea when I first started doing this stuff. It's a love of politics and it's a love of country. And when Barack Obama got elected to a second term, after spending 4 years of farting around wondering about whether or not I could actually do it, I decided I had something to say and this would be the venue that was best suited for me. And so I did. And I started talking about this stuff. And the more I pay attention to it, and by nature now I pay attention to it nonstop. I do 3 shows a week. And so I got to, and it's always changing, and I got to go, you know, one step up, 2 steps back when you tell these stories, because there's always a backstory and you've always got to go back and fill in stuff. And there's no question that we are involved in a protracted ideological cultural war. We have been for a long, long time, probably 50, 60 years, maybe even since the Second World War. When the socialists and the communists and the fascists saw opportunities in how the post-war world was going to stack up. And I've been chipping away at us for a long, long time. And the sad thing is, and I never really used to look at it this way, but I kind of do now, and I'm not real sure why. There are a lot of people on the left. If we have to break it down into an us and them thing, and we can't all be Americans, wise and honest and repairing to the Constitution where we can rally, take stock of the situation, get our bearings, figure out the best way to move forward based on how this government's supposed to operate, how this country's supposed to operate, you know, in terms of the Constitution and our liberties. We're going to have a problem. But it's just a war. It's just ongoing. These people will never stop. As long as Nancy Pelosi has breath in her lungs and the promise of a gin and tonic after the presser, by God, she is going to try to further that leftist agenda. No question about it. Long as Oscar Mayer's making hot dogs, I guarantee you Jerry the Jow Nadler is going to be in there swinging for the left. These people aren't going to stop. They're never going to stop. And, you know, if you think they're insane and radical, look at people like Ayanna Presley, that disgrace, Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib. Yeah, ideologically, nucking futs, okay? And we're just going to have to fight it. We just got to fight it. But hopefully, as we see these factions popping up, and Occupy Wall Street, Black Lives Matter, the LGBTQT, those guys. All right, and there's wars breaking out amongst all the LGBT barbecuers. Absolutely, the transgender types don't think that they're getting as smooth a ride as just plain old homosexuals. Yeah, And they feel that they're being, and they also feel that they're being shunned by the legitimate, I guess, homosexual community as not being part of their clan. Not, you know, I don't know. And then you've got, well, I said Occupy Wall Street, Black Lives Matter. You've got Antifa, and Antifa is becoming more and more dissatisfied because they are not able to respond as violently these days as they did when the president first took office. And also, you know, these people had the blessings of Barack Obama and Joe Biden. Biden's an Antifa guy. Don't you think he isn't? Their ugly head's going to pop up. Like I said, the Democrat Party, Hydra. Hydra. Look at all the different heads. Occupy Wall Street, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, the Rainbow Coalition, you know, whatever you want to call it. Red, all these different groups, all these different identity groups, La Raza. Again, it's like a hydra. You have all these different heads, and we got to work to cut them all off. And it's not a simple thing. And it's going to, the level of vigilance is just, sometimes it seems to be overwhelming, but there's a lot of us paying attention, and that's how we do it. But is the Democrat Party, as we once knew it, which it isn't even close to being that now, but is that going to be enough? Because these people, these leftists, I don't think the Democrat Party means as much to them as we think it means. Donut. That's the vehicle that they're using. And when that vehicle no longer takes them where they're going to go or where they want to go, where they want to take us, then they'll find a new vehicle. They'll make another vehicle. They'll go to the junkyard. They'll go to the political, ideological junkyard, and they'll pull pieces from Ho Chi Minh. They'll pull pieces from Stalin. They'll pull pieces from Mao, from Chou En Lai, from Pol Pot. And they'll make another machine that they think, they'll make another vehicle that they can try to seize power here in the United States. And you know what? They can, and they probably will. The only cats out there to stop them are us, you and I. Been an unusual show this evening, but that's okay. That's okay. I am of the opinion that soon, within a couple of weeks, and all the talking heads seem to be leaning in this direction, that this this virus panic is going to die down, that we're going to see the peak infections, and that we're starting to see things ease up already. We're starting to see more cases where people are being discharged. They're doing okay. Are there relapses? Yeah. Going to be some back and forth. And it's kind of like a tidal thing. But, folks, last year, 34,200 people. I have butchered that number every time I said it. 34,200 people died and nobody batted an eye. Not one of you cared. Not one of you admonished people to take stuff seriously. Not one of you, nobody said a word. You went to bed, you fell asleep, you got up, you had breakfast, and you went about your day. Different. What is really the threat? No, I didn't bat an eye either. I went home and slept like a baby. I got up, went to work, did just what I do, just like everybody else. We all did. What's different? kudos to the President of the United States and his quick and proactive response. Shame on the damn Democrats for fighting and sandbagging him and pulling him back at every step. Instead of being drift anchors, these guys should be helping the president, but they're not. They don't care. And they don't care about you. They don't care about coronavirus. We've already been through all that. Tell you what, we're going to go ahead and cut it loose here. It's been a great evening. Sat around all day, no clue what I was going to talk about. Still not really sure what I've talked about, even at this point. But I've had a good time, and I've enjoyed hanging out with you guys, and I appreciate that so much. Thank you all, every single one of you, for listening. It means much more to me than I'll ever be able to really tell you. Tell your friends, spread the word. You know, that's something I would, I'm loath to ask, but I would appreciate it if you would. Excuse me. It's not Corona. Shut up. The Conservative's Perspective is heard here Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Guys, Mark is on his way back. Sends his love. He's working out something. It's a possibility. He'll be back much sooner than expected. Could be a time change on the program. Still dancing around that, so I'm not going to say anything further, but he's going to be back. He's going to be back soon. We're heard here on, holy cow, excuse me. Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have a recorded version of the show that goes out on the Mojo 5.0 radio network, mojo50.com. If you're not listening, you probably should be. The very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio to be had out there. Take care of yourselves, okay? Yeah, wash your hands. You got neighbors. You got neighbors out there in the hood that are getting on in years, go to store for them. Yeah, grass is growing this springtime. I don't think there's any law about you going out and cutting grass. Do that. Get them your groceries. Call them. Talk to them. Check on each other, man. You guys are Americans. You know what the hell to do. You don't need me telling you to do it. You're doing it all your lives. People look down on you for doing it. They say it's square. They say it's hokey. They say it's hometown or whatever and cornball. Okay, so that's America. Don't worry about it. Just do it. Okay, that's it. Got to get off of here and go do something else. God bless you. God bless America. We will see you guys next Tuesday, in all likelihood, taking a look at things as we do. Through a conservative's perspective. God bless you. God bless America. Till then, you guys take good care. We'll see you on Tuesday.